join you live tonight right here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. And we're transmitting around the world tonight on the transmitting Jewel of the South right here out of Morrison, Tennessee. Glad to have you aboard. I got a great program, part two of the firstborn. You know, is it true in birth order that the characteristics of the firstborn children are smarter? Well, that's what your experts say. Firstborn children may be smarter than the youngest and middle children. Now, think about that. You know, you may want to question that, but that's basically what it says here. Firstborn IQs average 3 to 4 points higher than their younger siblings. In fact, IQs tend to drop as more children are born into the family. Now, this may be because that the parents spend more time with their firstborns, and then the firstborn children mentor their younger siblings and thus learn more. However, Aaron Wichman of Ohio State University found that it's not birth order that affects intelligence, it's family size. Now, I want you to grab that. It's family size. So, we're going to talk about a large family here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to tell you about the smartest man wasn't the first one. Matter of fact, he was the 11th son of Joseph, or Jacob, and his name was Joseph. And we're going to get into the mystery of that firstborn, why that he was chosen, and why that the firstborn is the one that Yahweh made a promise to. We're going to get into scriptures and show you. However, there is a definite understanding about birth order and things of this nature that Yahweh would have to consider, and we have to consider it as we get into the firstborn and see exactly what the common assumption is about when you study on the birthright order. Now, listen to me right now. The assumption is to think that firstborn means first created or first chosen. And Yahweh mentions the firstborn that opened the womb was his. But wait a minute. Something could be misunderstood here if we don't set the record straight, and that's what we intend to do on Firstborn Part 2. This error is due to a misunderstanding of the Greek word protokos, translated into the English as firstborn. That word holds the meaning of either first in birth order or primarily in importance or rank. In the abridged version of Kittle's Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, this is what I found. It states, the point then is not that Christ is the first creature that is mentioned in Colossians 1:15 as the scripture says, he was the firstborn. That word holds the meaning of either first in birth order or primary importance or rank. Again, the point is not that Christ is the first creature, as it says here. This would demand a stress on the tokos and would also bring birth into conflict with creation. What is stated is Christ's supremacy over creation as its mediator, or he that brought forth. He was in the world, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. In other words, the verse can be accurately translated as he is the image of the invisible God, the preeminent one over all creation. That's the better. see that Colossians 1:15 actually affirms that the Messiah, Yahweh, is as the creator of every created thing. Much like John 1:3, when it states that because of this, we can use the verse as proof of Christ's deity, and that is not an argument that can be used against it. Now, so I want you to understand this as we go along in the adventure of the firstborn, that it's not the firstborn so much as it is the importance of being in the will and the understanding and the preeminence of the Father, who has the right to choose and reject. You know the scripture where it says that Esau, and Esau was the firstborn. However, there's something behind firstborn. And what's behind it is this. The devil knew. Now, he knew that when Isaac, who was a son of Yahweh, according to Genesis 21:1, I'm going to give you a scripture here in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31:9, where it said, Ephraim is his firstborn. I am the father, here's what it says, I am the father of Israel. I am the father of Israel. And Ephraim is my firstborn. Well, we know basically that Joseph, Ephraim, was not his firstborn. In the Old Testament, the son of a patriarch, Jacob, and his wife Rachel, was favored by his father. He was the 11th son, but he became the firstborn. Now, that was a default situation, as we have told you, in the first four sons. Right off the bat, they defaulted. And then the concubines came into play. And then the other wives who came into play again. And it became, after the failure of that one called Reuben, who was the firstborn, according to 1 Chronicles 5:1. He was the firstborn. But notice, there was something missing, because the firstborn, well, you know what he done. Basically, he just messed up his birthright. Now, why would he mess up his birthright when he himself was the one that should have had the birthright? And it's true. Remember when Joseph, the chosen one, became the accepted birthright son, all the other sons, with the exception of Binyamin, who was young, too young to get into the fray, I guess. He stayed very close to Jacob. Jacob was scared, because that would have been his next in line, because he favored. See, this holds true in the Greek rendering of birthright. It's been misinterpreted because of the affection that the Father has put upon that which he chooses. Now, who are you to reply against him? As who are you as the clay to reply against the potter? Why have you made me this? When he took the birthright away from Esau, he took it away from Cain. Neither one of these could have the birthright because they weren't favored by the Father. He hated Esau. It's clear that he told Cain, he said, if you do good, well and good. If not, sin lays at your door. He knew he was a murderer and a killer. He knew that his works would betray him. So therefore, Yahweh did not choose him to be the birthright son. But when he came to Leah, the first wife, and actually Jacob was tricked away with her, his favorite wife,
that his love of his life was Rachel.
I'd like to make this comment here just as a side post. There's a lot of men that have to live with a wife that they don't love. Well, let me reverse that now to just so we don't get the women out of sync here. There's a lot of women that live with husbands that's not their first love. Their first love or the love of their life is somewhere else. And in comes to play the will of the Spirit, who has appointed you a equal, if you will. Now, life don't always afford you the luxury of having that. That's why that I have said and preached till I'm blue in the face almost, that marriage is one of the most sacred selections that you should make. Jacob worked hard after the fact. Some people think that Jacob waited 7 years and he got Rachel as a wife. He just as soon as the deal was sealed with Laban, who had tricked him and gave him Leah, because she was the firstborn. And Laban, he invoked that, well, wait a minute, you can't have her. You know, it's the first order, the firstborn here has the preeminence. And Laban's eyes, he was just trying to get rid of Leah because she was tender-eyed. She wasn't that good looking, but man, I mean Rachel, man, she was an entirely different story. Jacob loved her good enough to work 7 years longer than he should have for Laban, his father-in-law. But most people think that he had to wait 7 years to get his wife. He took her as a wife and lived with her as a wife just as soon as he struck the deal with Laban, and yet he stayed there with his two wives, Rachel and Leah, for 14 years. Two sevens, meaning it was complete. And the first son of Jacob's strength, the firstborn, was Reuben. Now, Reuben is the firstborn of the Jacob, the founder of the tribe of Reuben. He is related in the book of Genesis, and it means, behold, a son. That's what Reuben means. He was named because his mother Leah was hoping that by presenting him to Jacob, she could overcome Jacob's preference for his second wife, her younger sister Rachel, as I have explained to you. Although part of the plot to kill and later enslave the brother Joseph of the jealousies, you remember when I read you that the IQ of the firstborn in families was basically that you could measure their intelligence as 3 to 4 points above their siblings, and yet the bottom line was in the second segment of understanding was the one that Yahweh preferred. So he didn't prefer Reuben. Therefore, Reuben violated the contract by laying with Jacob's concubine. And this violated the contract to the point that Jacob could then select whom he would by favoritism, and he favored Joseph. And to give Reuben praise and honor, he was the one that advised the others not to kill Joseph. Isn't this strange? They're all plotting to kill him. But here, the intelligence of this firstborn, it shows the result of intelligence when he says, let's don't do that. Now you can
Donovan, who advised them not to kill him, to let him go. Well, you know, they sold him to the Midians. Now, the Midians were the sons and daughter offspring of Lot. They weren't all that evil. And they took him down there and sold him in slave trade. And that's what they were in. And it was a blessing because Joseph, the hated one. Now, have you ever read that scripture where it said, your foes will be those of your own household? But to love your enemies, was there anything that his family, including plotting to kill him, he heard the conversation when they throwed him down in the hole and was trying to figure out what to do with him, and he heard Reuben say, oh, no, let's don't get now. They said, let's kill him. Then we'll take his coat. We'll dip it in blood. And we'll carry it back to our father and tell him that the wild animals tore Joseph's body till it died. But here Reuben, the firstborn, the intelligent one, my. And every Reubenite that I have ever met, they had a degree of intelligence or spiritual discernment that was a little bit above and beyond some of the other tribes. I don't know why, but it falls right in line with his ability to advise his brothers not to kill him. Now later, now notice this, when they are all captured down there, and that Joseph is demanding to see Binyamin, his brother, from his mother Rachel, it was Reuben who offered his own two sons for keeping, guaranteeing that the brothers would come back when they were released to bring Benjamin back, that he would leave his two sons as a surety for the safety of Benjamin. And that's in Genesis chapter 42, verse 37, where I'm reading. In order now to move more quickly to relieve the famine, an offer that Jacob refuses, he's probably the wisest and most compassionate of the older brothers because he was the firstborn. He had something there. But as the firstborn, Reuben should have been the leader of his brothers and have taken responsibility for their collective actions, which he fails to do. Although he did advise them not to do what they were doing, he had no controlling power over them. And as it says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2, that Judah, who was a powerful physical specimen according to the book of Jasher, when he could crush a stone and chase off the Egyptian soldiers with the sheer brutal strength of his physical ability, the Bible said he prevailed over his brothers. That means that he stood up and he said, okay, if we're not going to kill him, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll sell the rascal. We'll put him downtown, Charlie Brown. We'll get rid of this cat. We don't want him down here. Look at him. He's a dreamer. He's a schemer. He's anything other than what we know to be, because they were jealous. Now notice this. They sold him into slavery in Egypt and told Jacob that he had been killed by a wild beast. And the coat of many colors is the passion and the spiritual ability and the knowledge of the physical realm that Joseph had, because he was the chosen one, the 11th son. And 11 always stands for division. It's two ones. Remember that I taught on 20 and 12 at 11, 11? It's a double witness of a time of a change. this age will be of the sign of Joseph, the 11th son, which is the water bearer. He is the one that's got the keys as the headship company or the firstborn. Chosen by favor, not by physical descent. You see that? Yahweh had favor to Joseph because Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph was a spirit high Elohim. His mind, his brain functioned much higher. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to explain something to you that it ain't going to make any sense to the smart people or the intelligent people, especially Reuben or the other brothers. But did you see that Joseph got smarter because the bottom function is of the psychologist who has examined the intelligent people, says it's not necessarily meaning that the birth order, which is the general rule that makes people intelligent, but it's the fact that as the seed refines itself in the bloodline, that most of the time the younger children in the large family are proven to be more effective and skilled in gifts and signs and wonders and in spiritual matters. Isn't that wonderful? Here's Joseph. He's down in Genesis chapter 37, and we read that he is the preservation fact for Israel, and then it begins right there, ladies and gentlemen, the story of Joseph and his brothers. It is told in the book of Genesis. It involves a great misdeed committed within a family, and the forgiveness and the eventual love. Love your enemies. Joseph had no enemies upon earth, including the Midians that sold him. He just fell in their hands through the power of them being able to give money for him, 20 pieces of silver. Ladies and gentlemen, the difference in the Messiah who was valued at 30, the difference is striking here. In the priesthood, we've got 20, and 30 makes 50. And 5 is the number of grace. Between these two individuals that were to deliver Joseph as a son of deliverance through physical, laying the foundation of the spiritual higher calling that the Messiah, who was an offspring of the bloodline of Joseph. We're going to prove that. We have proven it. Yeah, we've offered to debate this message on the radio live. We have these so-calls that kick around in the dirt of their own understanding and flop around like a fish out of water. But when it comes to put up or shut up, when we get into the genealogy and the signs and the wonders that's demonstrated through here a little and there a little, and the knowledge is prevailing in the last days that there shall come a deliverer out of the house of Jacob through the loins of Joseph. And he would save his people. The birthright had to go to the divine order of the descending genealogy of a large family who Yahweh himself said, I am the father of Israel. And when you get into the physical blood, it's astonishing how that I can take the Bible, or anyone else can that can rightly divide it, and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yahweh was the one that fathered the genetics of the house of Joseph and the house of David. I am the root and the offspring of David, saith the Messiah. David was an Ephraimite out of the house of Joseph. I have 14 years old, Joseph worked as a shepherd on his father's land in Canaan. And his brothers did the same. And all of them, including Joseph, worked equally hard. And the brothers, who did not like Joseph, as they could see that he was their father's favorite son, and their brother's jealousy, the festered hatred, got so bad that his family blood plotted to kill Joseph because of his spiritual ability to find favor both with his father, Jacob. Jacob mourned and mourned for his favorite firstborn son. And he could not believe the tragic happenings, although he believed his sons. He couldn't let go. Why would the father inspire me? Why would he put in my blood and in my life a desire to pick Joseph as my favorite and then have him to be killed and disappear from the planet? I don't understand. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, your life, as you search for your path, sometimes your own family can be your worst enemies. I don't mean you don't love them. There's not one scripture. Although Joseph, who was receiving the brunt of the brothers that hated him, he would relate in his dreams, and it would only compound the problem, especially the ones that revealed that he would become an important person. And he said, oh yeah, you're going to become important. We got plans for you. The only thing that you're going to be important for is that the ants and the maggots will eat your body when we kill you. In one dream, Joseph recounted that even the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars, proving to you that the constellations are related to the 12 tribes, and Jacob himself in the 13th, representing the father in the sacred box of the Melchizedek firstborn, which we are just itching to get into, and to preach you the revelation of the firstborn, of the church of the firstborn, which is a divine covenant people who know their father and know where they're coming into the bloodline and why that they are chosen. It is strange that a family can have as many as Jacob had, 12 sons, and in that regressive gene pool of Jacob, when he was a sperm bank for the generations from his grandfather Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know he carried the genetic patterns of the blood that came from the occasion of Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, who Yahweh himself caused the pregnancy of Sarah. And therefore, he could say, I am the father of Israel, who was surnamed Jacob, or Jacob, who was surnamed Israel, which means a prince with Yah, or a covenant people, and Jacob paid in a promise if Yahweh would bless him and Yahweh would deliver him from Esau and all of his enemies. That was his own brother. Well, let me rephrase that. That was his half-brother. The jealousy festered there. It haunted Jacob all of his life. They shall see that you're called by the name of Yahweh and be jealous and envious and afraid of you. You see, sometimes your loved one will hate you more when you've got knowledge spiritually, and they've got knowledge in the intelligent, the common realm of the flesh, and they can't reconcile the two and understand. And so it was with Joseph when he recounted his dream that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, which made 13, which was exactly what was in Jacob's family. The dream even annoyed Jacob, because the sons came and said, "Dad, you're going to have to do something about that loudmouth dreamer. Why did you choose him? Why is he going to get the birthright blessing? Why is it that through his blood shall come the Redeemer of the promised one from Adam?" They knew the covenant. They knew the blessings. They knew the consequences. And to have this precious firstborn blood right, that the Messiah himself would come through this family. Oh my, the consequences is enormous. When he was brought into his master in Egypt, he was an officer, and he was the head of the kitchen of Pharaoh. And as it turned out, Potiphar took a liking to Joseph. Sometimes it's your enemies that you've got to make peace with. Joseph didn't have any revenge factor for his family that done him like this. He was courteous. He was wise. Yet he spent his time in prison falsely accused. You see, the devil can get jealous of you. And sometimes when life takes a bad turn, it may be because that the devil is trying to delay the inevitable, which is finally going to come to pass, that the sons of Yahweh, the firstborn of the house of the firstborn, will manifest and bring about the kingdom position of the Melchizedek high priest that will rule this earth and be its master. While in prison, he was likable. He gained the friendship of the jailer, who placed Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners. Two of the other prisoners included the Pharaoh's butler and the baker. And one night, both of these men had strange, disturbing dreams. So they went to Joseph, who seemed to possess the ability to interpret. Now, what a light in a dark hole. Ladies and gentlemen, don't worry when your foes, who can be your enemies, are against you. You may be the only light and the only rescue plan. Don't let your light go out with the flesh rising up and taking advantage of you. Stay full of love. Be patient. Be apt to teach. Be courteous. Be kind. Think about Joseph. Think about the type of the Messiah. The Bible even used the word, he was pitiful. When they slapped him, he must have died out to the greatest enemy that we have in our life, and that's the flesh. Some people can hate their family. Some people can hate their wives. Some people can hate their children. But that ain't the true mark of a prophet, or a high priest, or a firstborn. It's those that can hate themselves and conquer themselves and learn how to love. In spite of all the hatred, in spite of all of those things, Yahweh said, in doing so, you shall heap burning coals of fire. No doubt, the one in charge of the prison had marked Joseph. He stood out. it in fault and curse their look and curse the Pharaoh and curse the jailer. It was negative. It was Joseph. I can see him right now doing his meditation, laying on his cell bunk, dreaming about the wonderful things that are to come. He had a hope in the man with a plan, and Yahweh had chosen him specifically. And when he obtained the highest position in Egypt, he delivered his whole family. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, oh my, when he encountered his brothers. I don't know if he knew that they were coming, but he had spies. He says, if anything unusual happens on the border, he knew that people were going to be coming from far and wide. The famine forced the brothers. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you may starve in a land of plenty, because man shall not live by bread alone. You may have a gut. You may be a gluttonous fool. You may be content, but if you don't have spiritual savvy and ability, if you have never tasted of the power of the worlds to come, if you've never been to the head of the spring to drink the cool, clear water that comes from the head of the spring. For he said, if you believe on me, as the scriptures have said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living waters. Here's Joseph. All the things that he encountered, the hole that he laid in while they were planning his death. He heard his brothers. Don't you think he had something below the collarbone? Don't you think he had a vision? Don't you think he knew he had a purpose? Don't you think he was called and chosen as the 11th son that represents division? It is a single digit of one that he kept his eye on. Although he was the 11th son, he had learned something from the end of the strength of Jacob, who was nearly 100 years old when Joseph was born. And he was born to save his very existence. And the promise that Yahweh had made to Israel, I am their father, and Joseph was my firstborn. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I could go so many ways in this message that I don't know what to do. There's so many avenues of spiritual perfection to call out the sons of the firstborn, whose sons you are. Joseph lived to be 110 years old. 110 would get you the 11. 100. 1 is 2 zeros, and 10 is 1 and 0. He lived exactly as long as his number 11 signified, because he was the 11th son of the firstborn. He lived to be 110 years old, and that represents the two rods that would be hated. But the strong arm of Jacob, according to Genesis 49, verses 22 through 24, where Jacob was unified in knowing that there was a promise that the stone shepherd, the Messiah, would come out of that bloodline, and that he himself would be hated and despised. And yet he opened out his mouth. He had conquered his flesh, just like Joseph. It's a remarkable sign of spiritual discipline to hold your peace when you're in the presence of your enemies, which is your own household. It's not the enemy, David said, in the field that is camped against the anointed of Israel and their father Yahweh, who watches over them. And there's always a light lit. And the eye of Yahweh runneth to and fro in earth and says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You shall be blessed if you bless them. You shall be cursed if you curse them. And it's not an allegorical fact. It's a historical fact that Yahweh came right through the bloodline of Joseph, the firstborn, and he stood there as the one, with Joseph as the other type, an anti-type of presenting to this world the firstborn of the man that we're going to read about in the book of Colossians. Ladies and gentlemen, it is something to read that book. It is something to know that Paul, an apostle of the Messiah, by the will of God, to the saints and the faithful brethren in the Messiah, you are chosen, grace be unto you and peace. And I give thanks to the Father, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith that is in the Messiah and the love which you have toward all saints. Maybe they're not a saint right now, but Joseph knew something that was good in his brothers. Although they meant it for harm, Yahweh turned it into good. Can you take the high road? Can you take suffering at the hands of the enemies that sometimes hate you? Could be your wife, could be your children. It could be your neighbor across the street. And the devil can provoke them to cause you to sin. Hold your peace. Let the Father, verse 10, walk worthy of Yahweh unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of your mighty one, the Elohim. Strengthened with all might. Remember the strong arm of Joseph. In the 23rd verse of 49 Genesis, the strong arm, they shot arrows at him. They hated him without a cause, simply because he was a spiritual, high mighty Elohim that had come down here to set the stage for the blood of the eventual God Almighty to walk the earth for 33 years. And 3:11 is 33. The convincing line of the earth. Of Luke 22 and 10, the one that's going to rise above the ancient city and there bring into existence in the age of Aquarius the water bearer, who is symbolic with the tribe of Joseph. He said, when you see that day come, you'll know that I'm fixing to pour out on my sons and my daughters. I'm going to redeem them. The time has come. I will bring Babylon. I will bring their enemies down, just like he did in the land of Egypt, in the dark land. He caused everyone to have to bow. Strengthened with might and the glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Can you see old Joseph down in the jail? Illegally jailed. You didn't hear him murmuring. You didn't hear him writing letters back home and complaining. You think Joseph would have told his father what his sons had done to him? I don't think so. Shows you class, shows you strength, shows you a spiritual mind that was given through choice, and the choice was Yahweh's, and he said, Joseph, Ephraim is my firstborn. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Amen. you up to the house of Joseph? Can you claim kinship? Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? He came out of Egypt as a symbol of darkness. He came out as a king. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, who is the offspring of David, who was an Ephraimite of the house of Joseph, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Remember? The symbolic of the firstborn of the brothers in the realm of spiritual deliverance. That's what he came for. The invisible God became visible through a flesh body and lived for 3:11 years, 33. Symbolically of the three aspects of the Godhead: God the Father, God the incarnated Son, and God the Holy Ghost. One distinct God who had it planned, for by him, in verse 16, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. All things. Oh my. Here was a type in prison in Egypt. Christ was imprisoned in his own land by the people that hated him. His own family received him not. They wouldn't stand up for him. They stood against him. They were afraid of the Edomite Jews. And the only time they would come and visit him, as did Nicodemus, a ruler in the land of Judea, came to him by night. Here he was, verse 16. Oh, I wish you could read this one and see the impact and the power that I saw many years ago in this verse of Scripture that turned my heart in my chest upside down and caused me to start beating in another mind frame. I was changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, when I read this Scripture. I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that all things were created in heaven that are in earth, visible or invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he's before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the head of the body, the ecclesia, who is the beginning, the firstborn. Whew. Right here it is. From the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. See that? Preeminence is a chosen one from the foundation. He chose himself because he searched heaven and earth. He found Joseph a perfect type. But Joseph had to go by the way of the grave as a type. Here came somebody through his bloodline that went by the way of the grave to raise up that second Joseph. And all the firstborns that would have preeminence, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. The Father chose the body of flesh, the Son, to enter that body and dwell there. And he's there right now. His own brothers are going to come back and going to look at him just like they had to look at Joseph. Oh, what a perfect type. Hallelujah. There won't be any hatred. His enemies were those of his own household, but he didn't despise them. And having made peace through the blood, peace through the blood, to reconcile all things unto himself, by that I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Everybody said God was in heaven. He's going to reconcile it into himself. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. For it pleased the Father that in him should sin and reconciling that through the body, his perfect body, the flesh of death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Just like Joseph said, I don't see no wrong in you. Yeah, you tried to kill me. Yeah. You tried to destroy me. You meant it for evil, but Yahweh turned it into good, and all things work to the good of them that love Yahweh. And I got to get off here. Man, how I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Praise Yahweh. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that there is a rock and a foundation of the firstborn. I want you to be in that number when he comes back, and for a people that's kept the faith and hasn't denied his name. Is his name important? There's not another name under heaven given under heaven whereby you can be saved. And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be saved tonight, why don't you just call me? That's area code 423-626-2172. I'll take your call. I'll talk to you. I'll tell you what you got to do to be saved. If you'd like to call me, area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me, if you'd like to have this series of the firstborn, you can write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. 37824. New Tazewell, Box 2284. Pastor Buddy, that's all you need. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark in the great state of Mississippi. Sister Audrey, two great friends that love the gospel. They presented this message to you. And on behalf of them, I extend an invitation to you to come into the family of the firstborn. Oh, it's very easy. There's a divine plan. And if Yahweh's speaking to your heart as a firstborn, you need to call me tonight. I love you very much. If I didn't, I wouldn't preach you so hard. I want to tell you the truth about the gospel. You got some enemies in the world. Could be your own mother and daddy. Could be your friend down the street. Could be someone that you sat on the pew with most of your life. It could be somebody that you've slept with and loved. Inherit the offspring from their body, whether it be male or female. Yahweh's got a perfect plan. Do you want to be in it? Measure up and be a firstborn son of Joseph from the great house of the king of the firstborn, who had the preeminence to love you before the foundation of the world and put your name on the book and say, I'm coming for you. I don't care if I go to prison. I don't care if I suffer. Because I'll rise again. What a powerful witness that Yahweh has given to you and to all those that love him. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRB. 10 o'clock tomorrow night. Live. Part 3 of the firstborn. You don't want to miss it. We're going to get into the actual performance of the firstborn and their rights to be in to the plan of Yahweh. Now the plan of Yahweh is forever settled, and the plan of Yahweh is going to reach out. It's going to touch you. It's going to help you to overcome. It's that one pair of hands, and it symbolizes 11, with one finger on each hand sticking straight up, pointing to the preeminent one, the firstborn. And I want you to become a member of the Church of the Firstborn tonight. All you got to do is to repent and call out loud on the name of Yahweh. There's not any salvation in any other name. You can't use any other name than what's written in the Bible 7,000 times in the Hebrew language. You say, I don't know how to speak Hebrew. That's a cop-out. Joseph knew him, and he knew he was coming to redeem him. David knew him. He said, he won't leave my soul in hell. he won't leave you, because he come to get you, and he sent fishermen to fish for you and to hunt for you. I'm hunting for you and fishing for you tonight, and I love you very much. May Yahweh bless you, and may Yahweh keep you forever. I'll see you tomorrow night. Yahweh bless.